We're told that the roots of Tchaikovsky's interest in the ballet may be traced back practically to his childhood years when, as a mere youngster, he displayed a keen appreciation of the beauty of movement and the enchantment of the folk dance. As a young man, Tchaikovsky not only danced himself, but he also wrote dance music for his friends and relatives, joining with the others at various gatherings to enjoy his waltzes and polkas, like Glinka and later most of the other Russian composers of his generation. Tchaikovsky could not but be struck by the beauty and expressiveness of the folk dances that kept alive the ancient tradition among the rural and partly urban population. Traces of these impressions remained with Tchaikovsky all his life. It is this, perhaps more than the dictates of convention, that induced him to include dance episodes in all of his operas, with the exception of Iolanta. How much importance he attached to this aspect can be seen from his work both before Eugene Onegin, with its famous peasant dances, and after it, the Hopak in Mazeppa, and the dances in The Enchantress, and particularly in The Little Shoes. Old-fashioned dances of the 18th and 19th centuries are major elements in Eugene Onegin and The Queen of Spades. Here they became an integral part of the dramatic story, forming the background or providing the light and shadow contrasts for psychologically momentous situations. Dance rhythms occupy a prominent place and acquire unquestionable artistic significance in Tchaikovsky's symphonic and suite compositions as well as his instrumental works. Russian music scholars have long drawn attention to this predilection for dance melodies, waltzes in particular. It may be of interest to recall what Tchaikovsky himself said in advocating the introduction of ballet music into symphonic compositions. "I simply cannot understand," he wrote in a letter, "why the term ballet music should be associated with something reprehensible. After all, there is such a thing as good ballet music." And Tchaikovsky was challenged to compose just such good ballet music when he became involved with the Nutcracker Project. Added to Tchaikovsky's difficulties was the fact that the commission was originally of an urgent nature and the composer had not been furnished with a detailed plan of the scenes. Unfortunately, the scenario of Nutcracker, after the French version by Alexandre Dumas, was not as well-rounded and complete as that of Sleeping Beauty. It lacked the through line of action which Tchaikovsky valued so highly and which was essential to his type of musical drama. However, approaching the subject in the spirit of his own musical personality, he was soon able to announce to his brother, "I am working with all my might and am beginning to be reconciled to the subject." And when Tchaikovsky subsequently obtained more time to complete the work, he gradually found himself becoming absorbed in it. He could not derive creative satisfaction from his work unless he could conceive of it as a composite whole. And we see that in the Nutcracker Ballet, Tchaikovsky surpassed the intentions of the initiators and compilers of the ballet libretto, even more than was the case in Sleeping Beauty. In this ballet, Tchaikovsky showed himself to be a colorist of amazing originality, preserving all the individuality of his psychological approach to the music. The composer developed those aspects that were previously manifested in different episodes of his operas, suites, and in Sleeping Beauty. But in The Nutcracker, the musical characterizations and the psychological depiction of the atmosphere of the action was even more subtly executed. The melodies, so simple in design, are a perfect complement to the stage character. The dance rhythms and orchestral color add variety and scope to the image, and they create musical and stage effects that are unsurpassed in refreshing charm. By means of elaborate pantomime scenes and carefully considered passages connecting one situation with another, Tchaikovsky knits the disconnected parts of the libretto together into one comprehensive whole. Act 1, for example, is a striking example of a complete unity between the action and the music, and a closer study of it merely serves to heighten the delightful first impression. The score of the Nutcracker Ballet abounds in sections of sheer beauty, which are skillfully integrated into the pattern of the ballet. The night scene in Act 1 is one of the most significant symphonic episodes in the whole of Tchaikovsky's music for the theater, giving, as it does, a picture of the spiritual life of the child passing from daytime reality to dreamland, to the night with its lurking horrors expressed in the battle with the mice. And despite the originality and the studied artistry of the music, the whole of this fantastic scene is charmingly natural. Even the magnificent final waltz of the snowflakes, which has been played by orchestras the world over, is actually no more than a character picture shedding new light on the child's world, and is again subordinated to the composer's leading idea, which is to portray in musical images the instability of the childish mind, to convey the feeling of alarm and excitement evoked by life's mysteries through the wintry scene. The contrast between white and dark scenes creates the required atmosphere. That from an essay titled The Ballets of Tchaikovsky by Vasily Yakovlev. And it is just such beautifully crafted music that helps conductors like Eugene Abulescu to come back again and again to conduct the score season after season. It's almost 30 times for Eugene Abulescu as he leads the Southside Sinfonietta in 7 performances of Nutcracker at the Zollner Art Center at Lehigh University, where he is on the faculty. More than 100 cast members will be involved, featuring dancers from the Pennsylvania Youth Ballet and principal dancers from Boston Ballet. We had a chance to speak by phone with Eugene Abulescu about the experience.
This is our 4th year doing it with live orchestra. This is not the student orchestra at Lehigh. This is a pro orchestra called the Southside Sinfonietta. And the dancers are corps de ballet people as well as soloists from Boston Ballet. It's a great production, and it's kind of crazy because we have 3 public shows, Saturday and Sunday, and we're also doing 4 school shows, and even the school shows, they're usually sold out, so you have 4,000 school kids from the Lehigh Valley get to experience full ballet. This is the original orchestration of Tchaikovsky, not the chamber version, and it's great for us. It's just a little hard work.
Eugene, you've just finished Mahler 6, for example. Now you're doing Tchaikovsky, and you're playing for dancers. As a conductor, what kinds of things shift for you, or do things shift for you at the podium?
Yeah, they do. When it comes to dancers, you have to stay within a very, very narrow parameters of what the dancers are comfortable with. We always joke that for dancers, you're always playing either too fast or too slow. And for a small shift in tempo for us is a big deal for dancers. For ballet dancers, a very small thing, you know. And normally with classical music, I always say that we're very blessed. It's a great medium. It's a beautiful art form. And it's difficult. It's stressful, to be sure, but not stressful in a life and death situation. It's not like performing brain surgery where if you make a mistake, you know, somebody's life could be at stake. The worst that can happen for us is usually humiliation for a little moment, right? If something bad happens in performance. And there have been things that have happened that have been out of my hands. We've had like a fire alarm one year the lights went off while we were playing Beethoven violin concerto. So all sorts of things happen. Well, with ballet, it's different because people on stage really could get hurt if you don't hit the exact thing that you've rehearsed with them. So you have to be simultaneously very free, and the music is so romantic and free feeling. But at the same time, the parameters that you practice have to be far more specific than doing a Mahler symphony, where the tempos are more like a range that you have practiced, and then in the performance you expect this night to be, you know, unique and maybe different from the night before, simply because you're reworking the whole piece live in front of an audience. And with ballet, when we do a Nutcracker, you just have to be a little bit more exacting.
And to think that all those young people get to experience not just the dance, but a live orchestra and the dance.
Fantastic. It's fantastic. And, you know, we even like a couple of days ago, I was doing a clinic with some of the kids singing. There's kids singing in the Nutcracker, right? Because one of the most difficult dances is the end of Act One, which is the dance of the snowflakes. And the long sequence for us, for the musicians, and it's the first major thing. So after the big Christmas party and all sorts of things start to happen after the protagonist Clara goes to sleep and she starts dreaming and the toys come to life, and then she becomes very small, or actually everything else around her becomes very big. And there's a fight between mice and tin soldiers, and the Nutcracker comes to the rescue. And then right after that, they get transported to a fairyland place where there's a snow queen, and then the dance of the snowflake. So all this stuff happens in the same sequence musically, and there's no stop. So it's very difficult for us. It's very difficult for the dancers to set that up. And then there's snow on stage, the dance of the snowflakes. There's actually snow. Of course, it's artificial snow, but apparently that gets everywhere, and everybody's hair and their eyes, and they're trying not to fall, right? So they're still on points, and if it gets, you know, under the points, under the shoes, that they could slide very easily. And that's the number that Tchaikovsky has put a treble choir. And this year we're very fortunate to have students from the Northampton Middle School. They're going to be singing one of the shows, and the other two shows are going to be sung by women's choir from the Emmaus High School. So I went and had rehearsals with both of these entities, and kids were very excited about exactly what you're saying, and the fact that they get to sing, and it's real. It's not just like a end-of-year school concert. It's a real production, and they're part of it. They get to, of course, see the orchestra. They get to see the dancers. They get to sing with a professional orchestra. It's just a great opportunity for everybody involved. And you know what? It's experiencing this wonderful music, which many people don't realize how well they know the Nutcracker because of car commercials and everything. Countless Christmas CDs that use the Sugar Plum Fairy and Tray Pack and all that stuff. But seeing it in the original configuration as a beautiful ballet is really special. So if people haven't seen the Nutcracker, I think that the Nutcracker at Zollner is definitely one of the best things to happen in the Lehigh Valley.
And you don't get tired of that music, do you?
No. No, every year it's one of my most favorite things that I'm looking forward to. In fact, this year will be, I have friends that have conducted hundreds of Nutcrackers. I'm going to make it to 21 this year. Oh, no, 28. So I'm not sick of it yet. I'm starting to know it by heart, though, but I still have to use the music because there are a lot of specific details that I have to know for this year's production that are different from year to year. So, you know, one of the, like, for the pas de deux, sometimes I have to wait until they enter. Other times I have to just start and then they enter, and I don't think I can get that right. It's too scary, so I use the music where I have all the markings in.
You've just done two full performances of Mahler's Symphony No. 6, and now ahead of you, seven performances of the full score of Nutcracker.
We look forward to it. Everybody has been working very hard, and we will invite your listeners to come to see and hear this ballet. And thank you for everything you do, and also happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Lehigh University's Eugene Obelescu, who will conduct Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker seven times this week, leading the Southside Sinfonietta Professional Ensemble in a production presented by the Ballet Guild of the Lehigh Valley. And the performances for the public are this Saturday, December 17th at 1 and 4, and Sunday, December 18th at 2 in the afternoon at the Zollner Arts Center on the campus of Lehigh University, 420 East Packer Avenue in Bethlehem. The cast will include dancers from the Pennsylvania Youth Ballet and adult community volunteers. The production will also feature Boston Ballet principal dancers Ashley Ellis and Lasha Kozashvili, and that will be, of course, the Sugar Plum Fairy and the Cavalier. For more information on the web, you may check bglv.org, and that's Ballet Guild of Lehigh Valley, bglv.org, for more information. More than 100 cast members, the professional Southside Sinfonietta, under the direction of Eugene Abulescu, a children's choir with guest dancers from Boston Ballet, at the Zollner Arts Center in Baker Hall on the campus of Lehigh University in Bethlehem. This Saturday, two performances at 1 and 4 in the afternoon, and again this Sunday, December 18th, and 2 in the afternoon, and that's at the Zollner Arts Center. For more information on the web, bglv.org, bglv.org.